This is Alan Condon with the Beckers ASC podcast, and I'm thrilled to be joined again by Janet Carlson, who's the Executive Director of ASCs for Commonwealth Pain and Spine. Janet, a real pleasure to have you back on the podcast with us again. For some of our newer listeners or those who may have missed you on the previous podcast, can you share a little bit about your role and your background at Commonwealth Pain and Spine?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me again, Alan. My name's Janet. I'm a registered nurse by training. I'm a clinical operator in the ambulatory space. I've worked with multiple service lines, opening ASCs, rehabbing them, and building them across multiple states. And so I'm a little bit clinical, and I'm also a little bit operational. So my role at Commonwealth Pain and Spine is to build out our ambulatory platform to then marry up with our 26 offices and interventional suites across three states.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for that breakdown, Janet, and great to have you back on. So obviously, like you said, your role very much intertwines between the operational and the clinical sides, particularly as it relates to ASCs. Can you give us a little bit of insight into the biggest trends, I guess, you're following in the ASC space today?
Absolutely. Because I'm actually working across two different states right now to build our de novo build-to-suit ASCs for Commonwealth Pain and Spine, I'm working in the state of Kentucky, and I'm also working in the state of Indiana. There's a stark contrast between the CON laws that are single specialty, two-room restriction in the state of Kentucky, whereas opposed right across the state line, I'm also building de novo build-to-suit ASCs, best-in-class in Indiana, where I have no CON restrictions. So I'm having to basically keep one foot in one state and their CON rules and regulations, and then I'm operating in a state that does not have them.
Yeah, it's such an interesting dichotomy. Like you said, in terms of some of these CONs in certain states, we're seeing it seems to be, just from our coverage on Becker's, it seems to be a little bit more pushback, a little bit more CON laws across specific states being challenged, obviously to allow potentially better market competition opportunities for those independent practices and surgeons like yourselves, but other groups. But I guess kind of any more insight into, like you said, it's stark contrast between Indiana and Kentucky, but how challenging is that in terms of staying on top of, staying abreast of some of these potential changes down the line, and how you can also pursue that growth opportunities without kind of all these regulatory hurdles in your way?
Sure. So happy to talk about that. Right now, there are systemic issues, in my professional opinion, with single specialty CON restrictions. And one of the things that I don't think we're talking about at the ASC level in CON states that are single specialty is the fact that we are all competing for the same clinical staff. For example, I'm going to have multiple two-room ASCs in the state of Kentucky, whereas if I could have a multi-specialty CON, I could consolidate staffing underneath one roof and offer multiple service lines. So the single specialty is actually hampering my ability to recruit and retain top talent. The clinical staffing shortages aren't being appreciated because of the fact that there's the single specialty CON. And so I'm just saying, as we are attempting to improve our community access to our customer, patient, client base, we're having to deal with these restrictions. And so, for example, in Kentucky, they require as part of the CON application that I supply them with an existing hospital system transfer agreement as part of the application process. Well, right there, that's a barrier that I have no control if the hospital in a market decides they don't want to have a standing transfer agreement with me. And so before I'm even out of the gates applying for a CON, I can be shut down by the hospital system.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Can you talk a little bit more deeper on that? Obviously, that hospital transfer agreement, that's specific to Kentucky, that's part of the CON law. I guess the
Correct.
challenges in terms of finding that hospital or health system, can you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. So back in 2019, CMS recognized that this was an issue and removed the need for a transfer agreement. So many states then followed suit with the Medicare removal of the transfer agreement or a CON condition requirement. We still are not able to do that in the state of Kentucky, even when I can demonstrate a need in the community. And so I'm challenging it because we're here to meet the need. We're also here, we're creating jobs. And so, what other industry, honestly, would be okay with trying to compete in a free market, but then at the beginning, get shut down before you even have the opportunity to meet the need that we have identified in all of these small communities, very rural, very much in need of our services? Specifically, when these health systems, Alan, they don't even have a paying service line anymore. And so there's a need in the community, but there's a need because it's not being met by the health system. And so it's just something that I think we need to be talking about, a larger issue where we're trying to have continued outreach in these communities. We're the proverbial little guy or gal, especially when the health service doesn't provide this service line. The ramifications of this, right, to my opinion, are very short-sighted just because these issues are going to continue to proliferate where we're not able to meet the need in these communities. People will be forced to drive anywhere between 2.5, 3 hours to receive care that the hospital doesn't even provide. We have demographics where we have the need. We have clinics, we have providers in that area. We're happy to open a surgery center, make the capital expenditure, but I'm not able to because the hospitals are denying the transfer agreement requirement by the Kentucky OIG. So I'm
Really.
prevented from submitting that application, basically. Another point is that the Commonwealth of Kentucky has done a wonderful job of attracting new economic development to the state, specifically from an automobile manufacturing platform. And with that's the case, we've got new large employers coming to the state, and we're looking at building out the infrastructure for these large manufacturers. But where's the healthcare infrastructure? How are we going to be able to accommodate the inevitable population boom? So I'm just saying that it would be wonderful if we could reform the Kentucky CON language to include multi-specialty and to also remove the requirement of a hospital system signed transfer agreement when we place an application with the state.
Yeah, certainly some a myriad of challenges regarding there. Maybe something that no doubt I think will be coming up at our ASC conference in a couple of months' time.
Yes.
Really interesting to kind of get your perspective on what's going on in those markets, Indiana and Kentucky, Janet. I'd like to shift gears a little bit. One thing I wanted to ask you specifically about before we move on to kind of growth opportunities. Following quite closely in terms of the FTC moving to potentially ban non-compete agreements for physicians this
Yes.
year. So nothing is concrete yet. We don't have a final word on this, but just given the language and the buildup on what the potential ripple effects of potentially invalidating, the hundreds, thousands of these physician non-competes across the country, how specifically, if that were to go through, well, how much of an impact would that have on independent groups like yourselves or in your market, do you think?
It will have a tremendous impact across America because physicians, as you know, are unionizing. You also know that if they are coming out of hospital employment, some of them even are negotiating for a 90-day out agreement. So they only have to give a 90-day notice. That'll cause significant disruption in the health system. But then in the private sector or the joint venture section, if we don't have a place for these physicians to go, that's going to be a waste of their skill set and talent and years of training. So the ambulatory space, in my opinion, is the perfect space to accommodate a lot of the surgeons that are wanting to leave hospital employment, and/or have the hospital systems get creative, like I said, around a joint venture concept, because you'd like to keep your surgeon producers engaged. You'd like to be able to recruit them, first of all. Second of all, you'd like to be able to align incentives so that they are compensated for their hard work and rewarded for it. So I think with the changes coming nationally, I know there are multiple states that are striking down non-competes specifically for physicians, that it's going to cause, like I said before, a huge ripple tsunami effect of people coming out of employment, looking for opportunities, and possibly even coming together to create their own private MSOs where they bring multiple specialties together and they attempt to provide care to the community and partner with people like myself to have block time in an ASC to take care of their patient load.
So we could potentially see a bit more of a shift if something like that were to happen in terms of more and more
Correct.
physicians, like you said, moving away from the employment sector towards independent private groups, potentially MSOs, these other private equity-backed groups as well, like you mentioned.
So, I mean, there's disruption happening all over healthcare. I don't see it slowing down. Some of it is good, some of it is not so productive. But I know with the physicians wanting to stay in their communities, live with, the house that they have with their significant others, their family, they'd like to continue to be a member of that community, not be forced to seek work within a certain mile radius or certain county limit as per their contract. They'd like to be a productive member of their community without having to uproot their family or having to be separated from their family for the term of their non-compete, whether it's a year, 2 years. Some of them are very, very strict. And so you'd want to make sure that we have these providers in our communities and they're not being forced away just because of an older, unnecessary non-compete with the health system.
Yeah, certainly, no doubt. A lot of us having our eyes fixed on what's going to come out of the FTC in the next couple of months or so. But certainly, the ripple effect is there for all to see if and when such a non-compete ban would be instituted. Janet, I think shifting gears a little bit now. I think no secret, the challenges in healthcare are many, and it seems like you know, specifically you on the operational, on the clinical side, wearing many different hats on any given day, bumping up against many
Yes.
different challenges. But I guess there are a lot of opportunities, a lot of things as well in terms of technology and the exciting side. What do you think ASC leaders like yourselves are particularly excited about when they think about the future?
We're excited about having the ability to meet our patients in the right side of service, which is the ambulatory side of service. Majority of patients electively can be taken care of in the ASC with incredible quality outcomes at a lower cost to the payer and to the patient. And so I'm excited about the fact that we are going to be able to provide that in our surgery centers where we're not going to have to make the patient wait an interminable amount of time waiting for our physicians to have some available block time granted to them by the health system. And so we're going to be able to meet the need of the patient sooner, at a better cost with incredible outcomes. But that's what I'm excited about is the shift that's going to continue, into the ASC space. The technology is pushing the migration of the high acuity cases. A lot of my surgery centers have been doing high acuity total joint replacement, high acuity spine fusions, and disc arthroplasties, things like that for a very long time with demonstrated outcomes. And so we're excited to be a part of that movement and we're excited to take care of these patients and then also use this as a recruitment tool for new surgeons to realize that they could have a lot more block time available to them to take care of their growing patient population.
Yeah, that's such an interesting point. It's a couple of interesting points you brought up there. Obviously, in terms of the technology really driving the migration of a lot of these high acuity procedures to out of the hospital into the outpatient environment, but also in terms of surgeon recruitment, like you said, there's a lot that surgeons, no doubt, the next generation of surgeons will be looking at the ASC environment in terms of the block schedules there, in terms of potential work-life balance. I think. Is there anything else that ASCs or independent groups like yourselves are doing to really make sure they're attracting the best and greatest kind of talent coming out of residencies and fellowships in the coming years?
We're giving them the opportunity to share with us what their vision would be for the ASCs they would be working out of. So we're not coming at them with a script. We're letting them come to us and tell us what procedures that they excel at, what they think are of high importance, what they think would be best suited to their patient population to alleviate their chronic pain, to reduce the amount of opioids that they are requiring, and to do it in a minimally invasive fashion. And so I think the technology is also allowing the physicians to come to groups like ours at Commonwealth Pain and Spine and say, I'd love to join your team. I'd like to have this amount of block time, and here are the things I'd like to do. And having that freedom where I can make sure I go after the correct instrumentation, the equipment that they'll need from a capital expense, to make sure that they have all the tools and resources to take care of our patients to the best way they know how and to the best of our ability.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, Janet, a pleasure to have you back on the podcast today. I think we've touched on quite a bit already, from CON laws to physician non-competes, but also, some of the challenges you're uniquely facing in Indiana and Kentucky, but also some of those growth opportunities and such coming down the line. Real pleasure to be able to pick your brains a little bit with us today, and hope to connect again at one of our Becker's events in the coming months.
I look forward to it. Thanks again for your time.